Welcome back to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro and founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective. I am someone who is obsessed with bridging the gap between physique goals and sustainable health. So that is what this entire podcast is about. If you're here listening and you're new, today we're talking about the impact of the company that we keep. I'm joined today by one of my closest friends, Savannah. She's a former personal trainer, wellness athlete, turned lifestyle athlete, and honestly, one of the most grounded and inspiring people that I know. She moved here to St. Pete not long ago, started a new career in sales, and built a community that has become such a huge part of her health journey. Thank you so much for being on with us today, Savannah.
Of course, I'm so excited.
We wanted to have this conversation because so often in health and fitness, we talk about food and workouts and even hormones, but we forget about the company that we keep. And the truth is, your community can either lift you higher or it can slowly pull you down. And for women listening, maybe they feel like they're on this journey all alone. And if you feel like that's you, this is the episode for you. We want to show you how female friendships shape everything, the way you eat, the way you move, the way you manage stress, and the way you see yourself. So, Sav, let's start with you. Can you share a little bit about your journey and your transition from personal trainer to competitor to lifestyle athlete and what that's looked like for you?
So at the time when I first started getting into competing, it was I was dating a guy at the time, and his sister was a bikini competitor. I had seen her lifestyle. She was waking up at like 3 a.m. She was a nurse. She was working 5 days a week, 12 hours a day, plus like all of her side business and side hustle, which was coaching. She was lifestyle coaching and also coaching competitors. And just kind of her whole, like her whole morality just kind of like was like, wow, I think I want to. I started, well, going back, I started working with her as a lifestyle client. She showed me so much and opened my eyes to so many things. And then I realized the potential that I had and kind of started a like a trial prep with her. Unfortunately, me and my boyfriend at the time did break up, so I had to leave her. And I ended up hiring a different coach, and I've had many, many different coaches, which is a good and bad thing. But it took me a while to kind of actually step on stage after training with her. I think it was like 2 years later, I finally stepped on stage for the first time, and I
But
started.
you know what I love about that, like little, even that little testimony about how you got into competing is in many ways that also ties right into the impact of community, right? It was like you had seen somebody who had worked so hard in their career and worked so hard in the gym. And as a result, it intrigued you and it maybe didn't intrigue you. And I think this is something, just kind of kicking off our conversation. Oftentimes, the people that are going to, I feel, be the biggest catalyst in our life are not the people that we're gravitated or attracted to because they're very similar to us. We may have similar qualities or similar aspirations, but they almost freak us out in the to the extent that like we know they're going to push us. We know that they're that next rung, right?
Definitely.
So for you, kind of, moving, segueing into just like our friendship, our community off of that, I want to speak to our listeners a little bit about how we first met. So if you have anything to add to this as we start talking, let me know. It was funny. I like to say that I was the one who slid into Savannah's DMs. However, as soon as Savannah and I started hanging out, I quickly realized that she actually had asked me for my coffee order when I first moved to St. Pete. So Savannah actually gets credit for this whole friendship. But no, I had reached out to Savannah after she had gone to, and we're going to talk about the impact of spirituality here on this podcast. But I saw Savannah had reposted something from our church, our local church here in St. Petersburg. about the difficulty and the challenge that we all face with finding friendships. And I think I jokingly had said something like, I want to be your friend. We went to a workout class together, and the rest was history from there. But I think, Savannah, I knew that it was a real friendship with you really from the get-go when we went to that running class and through like wheezes and coughs and like sweaty breath. I was able to learn so much about you in that class. And I was like, wow, we share so much in common, yes, but our visions for what we want for ourselves run very parallel. Like, in terms of I could see you holding me accountable in my career. I could see, you and I kind of feeding off of one another in terms of, for you, what's next in your career, and in terms of our relationships and just the way that, you and your partner are, and how I could model and look up to that. And in terms of your relationship with Christ, there's just so many things that and parallels that I could also see us growing together with. And I felt like that was really something that stood out to me, in terms of our friendship. Is there anything that you would like to add to that, or does you kind of?
I love that. And to kind of go off of that, I have joined a gym, Brickyard, here in St. Pete, and it's been like such a community for me. And to go outside of that class and try something new was something that was hard for me. It was already hard for me to go to Brickyard alone, like to start that alone. But then when Maddie and I started talking and hanging out, she asked me to do this running class. And obviously, those who know me, you see me here and there in my running phases. And at the moment, I am training for a half marathon that I'm probably gonna die, but we're gonna do it anyways. Anyway, so her kind of telling me to join her in this class, it was great. It was a great bonding moment. I was definitely pushed out of my comfort zone, and just the conversations that me and Maddie have had, like I can tell she's the friend that's gonna support me, that's gonna push me, that's gonna be eye-opening for me. And it wasn't until this year that I felt my best self, and going to therapy and learning exactly what a healthy relationship entails. I mean, from a significant other standpoint to friendships. Meeting Maddie was definitely, or meeting you has definitely been like one of my healthiest friendships that I've made this year. I mean, ever really in my life.
I can honestly say the exact same thing. And I know that recently, like both of our lives have been crazy. Savannah's actually getting ready to move in with her boyfriend. But I know that without a shadow of a doubt that Savannah, I can text you, I can call you, and you're gonna be there for me, and I really appreciate that about our friendship.
Yeah, same.
I think something else too that I've recognized, and this is something more recently as I've kind of delved into the High Rock style of training, and I've been going to Sweat and I've been going to Run Unlimited, and that's kind of the nature of High Rock's prep, right? Like it's really difficult to do solo. You really a lot of times want to be in the community of other people, at least doing a program with a partner. And I found by and large that it makes such a difference, when you're like today, for example, I went to a Sweat class. It was our 9/11 workout, and I walked in there and I was like, there is no freaking way. There's no way. And I was running. It was our last station, and it was a 911 meter run, which isn't that much. I mean, it's like what, less than, it's a half a mile about. And I was like dying, like actually like wheezing. And we had done the whole entire workout. I had friends who did it in like 45 minutes. Our time was 31. And I was doing it with Paige, if you know who she is. And like this girl is training, and she's practically like a High Rocks pro. And during the run, I could feel like she was easily able to go faster than me. And I looked at her and I said, Paige, you can go ahead of me. Like you don't need to wait back. Like I would be walking right now if it wasn't for you. And she looks at me and she said, like so intentionally, like, that's not what this is about. And I almost felt bad for even thinking like that I was getting ready to tell her that she could wait, that like she could go ahead of me because she was so far. It was one of those like moments where I was like, I only suggested that because I would think that. And like it was convicting in a way because I was like, you're right, that's not what this is about. This is a team effort. And I really do think that in the context of friendships and in the context of, even our audience, which might be women that feel like they're kind of compartmentalizing this aspect of their life, right? Their health and their fitness and their aspirations in terms of their physique goals, training for a marathon. It's so difficult to do it on your own. We were not meant in this world and in life, whether you believe in God or whether you just believe in science, both prove it. We weren't meant to do things alone. Community
Correct.
is what makes tough things doable.
Definitely.
So Savannah, I'm sure that you also feel like, your brickyard classes, because Savannah, I know, goes super early in the morning. When you started going to when you started your job, which is a sales job, and you're in the car all day and you're on the phone all day, I doubt, and you can attest to this, I'm sure, but I doubt that you would be getting up and going to the gym at 4:30 in the morning, like witching hour, if it wasn't for your community at Brickyard.
Definitely. Brickyard. So before Brickyard, I'll go back into time a little bit. I like lost all motivation. This was like post me being a personal trainer, post me deciding that I'm gonna put competing to rest and kind of figuring out what was best for me, what makes me happy. And I was going through a time where I didn't even want to work out, but going for walks was like hard. It was like pulling teeth to try to get myself just to go on walks. I mean, I was in a really low at the time, but Brickyard has like made my early mornings so peaceful. Like, it's hard, it's challenging. The people that are there are super fit, super motivating, and you can tell that when once you walk in, everyone's there to be a team. Everyone's there to support you. No one's here to judge you. We all have our own personal lives at home, but like once you walk into Brickyard, it is just completely game on. Everyone's there to get better. Everyone's there to hurt, but we're hurting because we want to feel that challenge once we leave. And it
Yeah,
has
and I
been
think
such
that
a,
that's
oh, sorry. It has been such a refreshing, like, I don't know, it's so different from just walking into a box gym, doing your freaking eight reps of whatever. I just now it's like it's such a challenge, and you're surrounded by people who are actually there that want to be better. It's just such a different feeling.
Yeah, and I think that for even those women that are training in a box gym, right? Like when I was training at Iron Religion or at my other gym that I used to train at here down in like near the Gandy, like you can find community. I just think so often like it's a little bit more tricky. It's a little bit trickier in a box gym because our MO is like, oh, I'm going in here. I'm head down, blinders on, baseball cap on, like. Take off your freaking cap, like look around, smile at people because the second that you start making eye contact with other women, not even men, like make eye contact, smile, walk up to people, say, hey, I've seen you in here, same time. I'd like to introduce myself. That's not weird. Having a community is, even if you have that, especially if you have that, if you're going to the gym solo at 5 a.m., it's nice to see a familiar face.
Definitely.
And it makes a huge difference. Now, at the same time, I also think that friendship and community, and especially in the context of female relationships, I want to start to also open up a different box here and discuss how friendships can contribute towards or derail. In my experience, I've had both, kind of like our perception of food culture and our relationship with food. I went through a severe eating disorder in college. And I remember it wasn't it wasn't provoked by the other 80 pies in my sorority. However, I can attest to the fact that it certainly didn't help when I would go into the dining room for 80 pie and we'd have these chefs that our poor parents would pay copious amounts of money for, and they would prepare lasagna and chicken, even grilled chicken, and rice dishes and burrito bowls. And every single girl, I'd say about 75% of my sorority would go in. They wouldn't even grab a bowl. They wouldn't grab a plate. They'd grab a Dixie cup, and they'd fill it with lettuce, some tomatoes, some cucumber, and the fat-free balsamic, and they'd take it and they'd leave. And that to me kind of became like the norm. Like if I was the girl that got a plate and sat down to eat, I was all of a sudden like the cow. And despite the fact that I also wasn't thinking about the fact that I wasn't one of them, I wasn't going to hot yoga. I was also running 5 miles a day. That's what I saw. And I think that we don't really see that as much in our grown-up culture today, but I definitely feel like I have friends that will go out to or plan for going out at night and they'll skip dinner.
Yikes.
I mean, do you feel like you have noticed that in female friendships, or do you feel like you've ever experienced that where maybe you feel like you're the only one at like a brunch or something that's like not eating and every or that's eating and everybody else isn't, or maybe eating less?
Honestly, I actually hadn't gone through this personally. Like, it's honestly been sadly the other way around, if anything. And that going back to my prep days, I would be that girl sitting there either with my plastic container meal of meal prep, which would literally be chicken and lettuce, or me skipping that meal altogether, eating before the brunch and just being that girl sipping on a Diet Coke while everyone's laughing and enjoying and being social, which was one of the many reasons why I finally decided to give up bodybuilding. It's just because it had made me so MIA from, my own life. I didn't even know what I wanted, let alone like meeting the right circle of friends. I never felt like I had a great circle of friends. Luckily, I've always I'm been a Or I am a twin, so I've always had my twin sister. But even then, so that lifestyle, the prep lifestyle, it pulling you away from social events and like the normalcy of life, it kind of restrains you from creating those healthy relationships with friends and family.
Yeah, I definitely think it's so interesting that your experience has been the opposite. I feel like I haven't necessarily had in the context of female friendships the opposite issue, but I can attest to the fact that in my romantic relationships, particularly with my ex, we definitely struggled with that. Like it was like I'll never forget this. This was just one of the very many meals that he decided he was going to cook for us. And it was an Instant Pot meal with pork. And I watched him pour an entire liter of regular Coke into this pork dish with
Stop.
brown sugar. And like he was like, Maddie, you've got to try these enchiladas. And he put cream on. It was every no-no food that you could like. I literally was like, I don't even know how I could fit this in my mouth. I couldn't eat all day. And so, we constantly butt heads in regards to, I felt like he was always saying like, oh, Maddie, like, well, you're always in control of where we go to eat because you have to at least have something on the menu that you can have. And we ran into that all the time. Now, regardless of what the listeners that are listening to this are experiencing, whether they're on one end of the spectrum and they feel like they go out with their friends and maybe they're on a health and fitness journey and they're working with a coach that says, Samantha, you need to eat more. And they're like, okay, I hear you, but like none of my girlfriends do that. Or conversely, they're experiencing what you felt, where it's like, I'm singled out. I'm the only one that eats this way. I'm the only one that does this. Both of these things are a testament to the fact that we need They don't have to be all of our friends, but we all need community that does have a similar lifestyle, that does share this. Like, I will never forget, Savannah, when you and I went to the gym or to the beach. And I think that was like one of the first things that we talked about. Like, it was like we brought all of our drinks with us, and our drinks weren't alcoholic beverages. They were like electrolytes and water and Mio. And we
We
had
can't
brought
forget
like
our
all of our
coffee.
drinks. Right. We went to the blend and got coffee, and it was like, how it all began. But you know, it was like we were like, oh my gosh, this is so nice, because like we don't have to sit here and say like, oh, I'm not drinking, because all of our friends drink at the beach.
Exactly.
Or, you know, we made it home at a decent hour because both of us knew we were going to be hungry for dinner. And even with your romantic partner, your boyfriend, like, he knows that right now you're in a cut, and every single date that you have can't be one where you're going out and you're eating. Life doesn't revolve around, you know, those types of extravagant meals for you two right now. And I just think it's so important that, like I said, it doesn't need to be 100% of your community. You definitely can't always pick the people that come into your life. If you're already married to a partner that doesn't support this, don't divorce them, but make sure that you're including people in your life that do share this lifestyle. So maybe if you've got a friend that you've met that, you know, is your even one of your workout instructors or someone that you've seen at the gym, invite them to go out and get food with you, because it's kind of nice to have these people in your life that share similar eating habits.
Yeah, I totally agree. But go oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I wasn't going to say anything.
I was gonna kind of go off of this and talk about like how I felt like I was never gonna find my people, I guess. But I've learned in my time that finding your people definitely takes time. And it didn't. So back to me being a personal trainer. I mean, I was working my ass off. I was literally working like 12-hour days. I would drive to the gym and the sun would not be out, and I would drive back home from the gym and the sun would be down. So I would not see the light of day. So all I was
Brutal.
doing was basically working. I lived in St. Pete, but I worked all the way in Palmetto, and I never even got to experience being a St. Petean is what I call it. And I never got to like join the run clubs, or when Sundays would roll around, I would make every excuse in the book not to attend church because of how tired and exhausted I was from my week. And I had like the Sunday scaries because the last thing I wanted to do was go back to work and work these 12-hour long ass days. So, anyways, what I want to say to the people listening is finding your people takes time, and it takes showing up in uncomfortable places, trying new things, and sometimes feeling awkward or alone in the process. And for me, it took me one, a career switch, and two, to be a moment of to being single, because I was dating around at the time when I was working as a personal trainer. But then I finally took time to be single and figure out what it is that Savannah likes, what it is that she wants to do, what kind of people do I want to surround myself with. And that took me joining new gyms, saying yes to things when I wanted to say no because of the uncomfortability of it, and being consistent with church. Like, church doesn't always sound fun. I'm not gonna lie about that. But I've absolutely grown to love the church I attend, which is Radiant. And literally almost everyone at my gym attends Radiant. There's a whole section of us that sits together, and that has been a huge part of my community and has also like unlocked my new level of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it all ties, you know, it all ties together. When we feel like we are broken in one way, shape, or form, like, you know, in the context of the topic that we just talked about, which was nutrition, you know, I tell my clients, like, if you want a healthier relationship with food, look at your circle. You know, if you want a better relationship with yourself, though, we can even expand that a whole other rung. Look at your circle. You know, if you hate your life, look at the people that you're bringing into it, because a lot of times they're either sort of putting your back up against your goals and you feel like the bad guy, or, you know, they're detracting you, they're pulling you away from it in one way, shape, or form. You brought up so many valuable things there. And I also think, you know, in the context of this call to some extent, talking about movement, you just referenced, like I said, big picture, how the company that we keep can really influence our perception of ourselves, of the world around us, of our mindset. I also think that on a smaller scale, not just think, I know this to be true, the company that we keep can shape what we think that fitness should be. I know that when I was, you know, being around, when I was around bodybuilders, for example, I very much, and it's so funny how this even, you may be able to speak on this a little bit as a coach yourself, Savannah, but when I was, bodybuilding, I remember even my coaching style. Like, I lacked a certain degree of empathy that I now have for my clients because even the people that I surrounded myself by virtue of being a bodybuilder, it was very much like this hard ass, like, get it done mentality. And it was like movement was so transactional that it makes me sick to think about. Like, it was like you go to the gym. And regardless of if you're bleeding, if you went through a breakup, if you had a death in the family, I remember I literally had a death in my family and I was like, I gotta go get my cardio in. And I remember my mom being like, you are a sick F. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's so crazy how movement is literally for like the purpose of vanity and aesthetics or calorie burn. And that's not to say that's not just bodybuilders. I mean, I've had friends that are just like, they have what we, you know, would call orthorexia, and they're just obsessed with getting the calories in, you know, the steps and all the things. Now, I've also noticed that at when and this was a shift that really happened when I moved to St. Pete, being that St. Pete is just such a health-centric community. You know, I'm now surrounded by so many girls, and I'm so blessed to have them in my life where, you know, we don't have to go through this like heart-throbbing workout to move our bodies and to feel good. You know, we'll go to yoga classes together and that suffices. Some of us go to HIIT classes together and that's cool. Some of us will go for runs or, you know, you and I on occasion will go on a nice long walk. And I really value that. I value how the company that I've invited into my life has shaped how I even treat my own body in terms of how I move it. And Savannah, you brought up something really key when you were just speaking on how you got to where you're at in terms of your circle. And I think that really ties in here. You said you had to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And if I stayed in my little bodybuilding circle, and at my little bodybuilding gym, and you know, I didn't navigate towards these classes that I swore I would never go to. A year ago, if you told me I was going to be going to running classes and sweat, I would be like, you're psycho. I had to start going to yoga. You know, I had to start going to, I went to a sound bath class the other day, for goodness sake. Like, you never know, but you have to put yourself in these uncomfortable situations, or you might never meet the people that are going to shed light on a different way to move your body or a different way to honor your system or, you know, train.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's funny you say that because I was the same exact way. Never did I think I was going to even step foot into a CrossFit or High Rocks training type of gym. And I have a twin sister, and she's played soccer her whole life and started doing CrossFit. And I would make fun of her like left and right. And I'm like, you're gonna do bodybuilding. This is what's best for you, blah, blah, blah. Like, I had such a like closed mind about anything else. But honestly, my move to St. Pete is what shifted that mindset. Like, the city is so active, as you said. Like, everywhere you look, people are running, biking, doing yoga. And at something like Brickyard is I started surrounding myself with people with all sort of different goals. Like, some are training for races, some are rebuilding strength after big life changes. Like, Some are just there because it makes them feel good. And that perspective completely changed me. Like, I used to think that the only way to get a good workout in is if I'm there for 2 hours. And like, no, that's not how you should measure your progress at all. Like, I would exhaust myself physically and mentally. And now I work out so I can feel energized and accomplished and just overall happier.
Yeah, and I mean, there's something to be said too for like if I was in a gym previously, this is going to sound so vain, but I'm in a podcast today that I run and I operate and I am a complete open book here. And I didn't even realize that, you know, 2 years ago, Savannah, if I were to walk into a box gym and I were to see a girl that was thicker, I probably wouldn't even approach her. Now I look up to her. It's like, what if she's the girl that just wants to be in here because she does live to eat and she wants to go have a good meal and this is her way to like you know feel good and like enjoy herself and feel strong and whatever it may be. It's like I don't sit there because what or what if she was a victim of abuse, right? And the gym is just her safe haven. Not everybody is in the gym because they want to be a size two, and it's like those are sometimes the coolest people that you're gonna meet. You know, I have friends that are runners and they're the most incredible humans and they've pushed me far beyond my comfort limit. But do they have the physique that I once had with bodybuilding? Very, very impressive physiques, but no, it's a different build. And I think that like you're kind of talking to, like everybody's there for a different reason. And it's such a gift to it. Become a more accepting and unconditionally loving person of others because you're surrounding yourself with community that truly is in it for very, you know, their reason. And their reason is so deep and so personal to them versus just aesthetic. So that's kind of like a sidebar, but I guess for our listeners, you know, take inventory of your community and why they're doing the things that they're doing. You know, is it rooted in vanity or is it rooted in something deeper? And if it's in vanity, then challenge one another to find that deeper meaning.
Definitely.
You know, I think as we kind of continue to evolve and this conversation continues to evolve for us, I also really believe that our friendships can really center us or they can, what I say, scatter us. For me, spirituality is one of those sort of healthful habits that ties everything together. I have yet to see, you know, well, I guess I have, but I don't really see this often. You know, the people that are going out until 2, 3 in the morning on a Saturday night are usually not the ones that are rolling into an 8:30 or a 10 o'clock church service. You know, they might be watching it from home. But I found that just in general, and this doesn't mean that for our audience members, you gotta be in a church, right? But think about the different communities that are within your community, the different groups that you could get involved in that are just filled with more wholesome people. You know, like I said, the likelihood that I'm finding someone who is blacking out or parties hard on the boat every Saturday, that's also getting up on Sunday to go to a workout class or go to a run club that happens Sunday at 8 a.m. or that's going to a community group or a Bible study. It's just very slim.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, Savannah, with you being so, you know, so busy and things like that, have you found that since you've made time for church and time for that community that you found yourself, I guess just less, not less tempted, because I don't know that you were ever tempted before, but just more like grounded in all areas of your life. Because I feel like for me, that's definitely the case.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't think I've ever really had like the going out phase, and if I did, it was so short-lived, but it wasn't until I keep going back to this because it was just such a big change of my life, but like switching my career, I mean, just to be able to switch my career, I was so grounded in my faith. I knew that God had another plan for me, and it wasn't to be training people 12 hours a day. Like, there was more to me than that, and I prayed every single day. I went through like so many interviews met so many people, put myself out there in so many different community groups. And it finally all clicked for me, and I was able to move to St. Pete. I was able to have the roommate at the time that I was supposed to have. I was able to start this new career, and I was able to finally have the time for myself and to attend church and other things. As in, okay, so for instance, when I started attending Brickyard, I then found out there's other groups, and there's a group led by Kate Hastings. She's one of the coaches at Brickyard, and it's a community called Faith and Fitness.
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah, so obviously it's not at the church, but everyone who attends, I mean, we all have the same morals. Like, we're all there to be together as one and be a big, huge community. And it's gotten actually so big. It used to be held at Brickyard, but now so many people show up that it's now at, I don't know how to say it right, Valor Fitness or something. It's like this huge
Oh,
gym.
yeah.
Yeah. And it's just crazy. The energy, the encouragement, the friendships that you make in this environment, it's crazy. And so they held these once a month. They still are currently doing them. And then also there's like little things. I'm actually going to be attending my first one on Monday next week. It's the all girls Bible study, and they have one for
Oh,
the
yeah.
men's group too. So just, it's crazy to see, like, I don't know. It's honestly crazy. People who are into fitness, I feel like, are more grounded and are heavier in faith is what I come to realize. I mean, that might not be a fact, but it's just kind of what I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless of, obviously I'm a woman of faith too, but I think, regardless of faith, it's more about just finding people that are, much like you, Savannah, when you talked about taking that leap of faith that you took and immersing yourself in this career. And I talked in my last episode that I did with Danny Henderson, one of my athletes. We spoke on the importance of being aligned in your life and true alignment. And I really do believe that, like, when things are misaligned in your life, you're going to find yourself very stagnant. And the other thing that I think oftentimes happens is as soon as things do start falling into alignment, it's like, okay, we're going 100 miles an hour. And your career came through. You were able to move to St. Pete. You started making new female friendships. You joined Brickyard. The relationship started, growing for you. And there was like all these amazing things that started happening very, very quickly. And I think that as that starts to evolve, a lot of times we'll realize all of the shit, I guess you could say, that we're keeping in our life that just doesn't fit. It's like extra fluff. And at that point, we really only have space and only have room for what does. And, I think that we don't have room for the friendships that aren't, helping to better us, and that we're not, we don't have room for the people that we don't necessarily look up to. We don't have room for the people that constantly act in vain and speak badly about other people. And we don't have room for the friendships that feel judgmental or that feel constricting or that feel manipulative. And that's probably one of the things too that you're kind of associating with church is that, it's a community of believers and people that are all kind of rooted in these morals and values and ethics that are meant to build one another up. And I think that that's what's so important. We find it a lot in female friendships is just this propensity to be competitive with one another. And I think that especially in the health and fitness space, we're very quick to compete with one another. And I think sometimes having that reminder, or having a Bible study, or having a church group, or anything like that, it really helps us all to like just break down walls and realize that we're all human, we're all female, and male, female, friend, foe, we're here. We really are here on earth to support and love and encourage one another. So if you are listening to this, I think that, friendships are not just what help us to eat better or move better or even think clearer, but they're there to challenge us. They're there to inspire us and push us to really be better people. And your community and the things that you're immersing yourself in, they really, really, really do matter. Now, not just like on that on that topic, a continuation of this. I want to talk about friendships that when we first started this conversation, we referenced friendships and how, if you're sitting in a room with people and you're comfortable, they always say, like, girl, you're sitting in the wrong room. And that whole phrase really came to mind as I was pondering this podcast and taking inventory of the friendships and the women that are in my life. I'm very proud to say that I don't feel like I have any friends in my life right now that don't push me to grow. I think that I have been very fortunate to have females in my life that are respectful of my boundaries. For example, tonight I had to text some friends and say, I don't think I'm going to make it to Run Club. I'm podcasting. And I wasn't chastised or ridiculed for it. I was, ex they were excited for me and they couldn't wait to listen to it. But, they also kind of joked around. They're like, well, you have your Hyrox. Are you still going to get your mileage in? It's like, and that's a very dulled, ex dull example of friends that respect boundaries but push you to grow. But I think that that's really important. Savannah, would you say, is there a time in your life where maybe you had a friend that pushed you out of your comfort zone and that helped you to grow?
Definitely. There's like so many different examples I can give, but for instance, everyone knows me. Well, those who know me know I hate running. But I love a good challenge, and there's always something that I want in my life that pushes me to be better in like so many different ways. And for instance, my friend, she like at last minute signed up for a 10K last year, and she texts me and she goes, "You're my only fit friend. I need you to sign up for this 10K with me." And I'm like, "I might be fit, but this doesn't mean I can run a 10K. Like, this is crazy. I don't run. Like, no way." And I ended up, of course, doing the 10K. Well, you know what? Actually, funny story. I signed up for it thinking it was a 5K. Like, I know she said 10K, but in my head, I'm like, okay, it's a 5K. God, this is so easy. Literally, the day before, I'm texting my friend. I'm like, wait a second. I just read the email and I'm like, it's a 10K. I'm like, I am not prepared for this 10K. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And legit, we were side by side the entire 10K, didn't stop once. And you know how people just be are like, how do you talk and run at the same time? Which, Maddie, you're good at this. I don't know how, but you are. But we legit talked and ran the entire 10K. And like, this girl just pushed me way out of my comfort zone. I mean, I got into this thinking it was a 5K. I did the 10K, and now here we are a year later, and now I'm signed up for a half marathon with the same friend. So it's just like you said, like there's not one friend in your life right now that isn't, inspiring you or challenging you or helping you grow. And that's where I'm at in my life as well. And it's just so funny, like to see me now signed up for a half marathon. Like 2 years ago, if you would have asked me to sign up for a half marathon, I would have laughed in your face.
No, I actually I can attest to something kind of similar. I had there's a girl named Kieran Hopping. She does a lot of the Run Club things here. I'm sure you know of her. But she's like a basically like another like Hyrox pro, literally. She's like crazy beast of an animal. She'll run like 10 miles in the morning and then do like a crazy Hyrox workout at night. And she's been asking me, I've yet to do it yet. I'm gearing up for it. But she's been asking me to go on these runs with her. And I like called my mom the other day and I'm like, Mom, this girl's asking me to go on these runs. And like, she runs like freaking 7 minute miles. Like, you think these little legs can do it? She's like 5'10". I'm 5'4". I know. I'm like, girl, at 5 a.m., I don't know. I need some carbs in me. Long story short, my mom, who I really look up to, was like, Maddie, she wouldn't ask you to go with her if she didn't believe that you could do it. And it's
Facts.
like, every time that I say like, hey, like, I have an early meeting or I'm going to sweat already at 9, like I can't go. She respects it, but at the same time, she's like, all right, I'm going to ask you next weekend. She's persistent. And I really appreciate that. Like, I appreciate friends that, they respect the boundary, but they're also there to truly inspire you to grow. And she'll tell me, she's like, Maddie, we don't have to go fast. Like, I know that you know that my mile pace is a little intimidating. It's a lot intimidating, Kieran, but But you know, it's like one of those things where it's like take inventory of that exactly in your female friendships. Are they respecting your boundaries? Are they respecting you when you say no? Are they making you feel bad? And are they inspiring you to grow? Secondly, are your friendships encouraging stress management, alone time, and saying no to things? I have a friend who is a yes girl, says yes to everything, and I was fortunate enough to actually have her on my roster as an athlete of mine for about 6 months. And one of the she told me the other day as we were sitting down at a friend's birthday party, she said, "You know, the best thing that you ever told me was your tactic for when you don't want to do something." And my tactic is, I had a lady that I nannied for when I was younger, who shared this with me. And what she shared was, you say, "Hey, I can't go tonight, but how about we grab coffee?" You always suggest another time that actually does work for you. And I think that to take that a step further, it's a really powerful and awesome thing. And this is another kind of like safeguard that women that are listening to this podcast can use when they're figuring out who those friends are in their life, is look at what friends you have that might be able to sort of beat you to the punch and pinpoint, like, "Savannah, take some time for yourself this weekend." You know, I feel like I have said that to you in the past. Like when you texted me the other day, and I think it was like, "Hey, I'm really sorry for," hopefully I'm not sharing too much, but you were like, "Hey, I'm really sorry for, you know, not being super present and not texting you and, you know, not being as communicative over the past couple of weeks. I promise, like, I'm still thinking." And I just said, like, "Savannah, if anyone gets it, it's me. Take some time for yourself. Like, rest this weekend. Say no. Use the N-word. Like, it's one of the most powerful tools that we have."
Yeah, and
And
that was, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
no, I think when friends remind us that we can give ourselves that permission, it's really powerful.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, saying no or drawing your own lines and saying no without apologizing, like, you have reacted so well to that for me. And I'm like, wow, like, this is what it's like to have a healthy relationship as a friend. And like, she has her boundaries, I have my boundaries, and we both get it because we're both busy. And obviously, we're both busy, you know, with work life, but also personal life and personal goals. And I'm obviously in a relationship, so I have to make time for that as well. So you, I like that you get it. And there's people that have made me in the past feel guilty for prioritizing something for me. And that's usually when a red flag, now I would call it a red flag, and that's usually more so a selfish friendship than a friendship that's, you know, building you up and pouring into you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Savannah, in many ways, I don't know that you realize that you've had this impact on my life. But as I was thinking about this podcast and I was thinking about friends that pour into me, I thought one of the most powerful things about our friendship and one of the things that I admire most about you is that you act in integrity in the context in all ways. You really do. You have integrity. You can't help it. But one thing that I love about you is that you don't do things you don't want to do. This past weekend, I was watching, we had football Sunday with Matt, and I had texted Savannah and I said, "Oh, Savannah asked me to go to the beach and I couldn't because I promised Matt I would watch football with him." And I said, "Oh, if you like football, you can come over." And any weak backboned friend would be like, "Stop by, like, Savannah text me. I hate football, but maybe we can get together some other time." And I really appreciated that, man. Like, I really, really appreciated that because it gives you the permission right back. You know, it's like,
Yes. Yeah.
don't do things you don't want to do. It's okay. No one's gonna get mad at you.
Yeah, right. I'm like, does she want me to be miserable and sit there and like be a waste of space? Like, no, she's good without me. She's got Matt.
No, we'll be good. We'll be good. Now, in regards to, you know, I think we've probably covered all the ground that we can cover in terms of friendships that fill you up. Unfortunately, there's also friendships that can drain you. So I don't want to take too much time on this topic, but I do want to make sure that, our listeners are well aware because we've all experienced it, and I think we both have valuable things to share here. That we've had friendships in our life that do drain us. And by drain us, I mean they make us feel guilty for things. They invoke negativity in our life. They make us, compare ourselves to them. We feel pressured to maybe start to do things, act in certain ways that, don't uplift us or don't act in accordance with our goals or our ethos or our values. And so if you're listening to this, I think something that's very valuable to do is to take an audit. And when you're auditing your friendships and you're auditing how you feel about certain people, ask yourself when you leave that person how you feel, like internally. Do you feel drained? Do you feel exhausted? Do you feel used or manipulated? Do you feel annoyed? Because I think that can be a very telltale sign because it's very instantaneous and it's instinctual about how that person is po negatively impacting your life. Savannah, have you ever had to take a step back from a friendship that was draining you, and what was that like?
Yes, I've definitely had to take a step back from a few of them. And it's probably one of the hardest things that I can do just because I'm someone who loves deeply. I give a lot in relationships, and realizing that friendships were taking more than they were giving was tough. But at first, like you said, I felt guilty. Like I kept thinking, like, what if they think I don't care? But the truth is, I was constantly pouring into someone who wasn't pouring back into me. And every time I would leave them, I would just feel empty, used, alone. And they're like providing absolutely no value in my life. And I would have to literally, I would call my mom and be like, oh my God, I'm seeing this person today. And I have to literally like get myself ready. I have to prepare myself to see this person because I know it's going to take every ounce of me to be like, to be able to be present and listen because our conversations that we would have, I couldn't relate. Like it was so hard. It was way more draining than anything. But stepping back, it wasn't about cutting someone off or not loving them. It was about protecting my own peace and making space for the friendships that actually bring me joy, actually encourage and help me grow. And once I did, I realized how much lighter I felt, and it gave me room for the right people, like the ones who actually fill me up the same way I fill them. And it creates such a healthy relationship, or it creates such a healthy mindset for you to be available and open to those healthy relationships.
Yeah, I think that number one, please share her name so that we know. I'm kidding. No, but I think that when we have those friendships, first thought that I had on that note was, that friend, Savannah and I actually talked about this when we first became friends, because obviously her and I are
Oh
both
my
very,
gosh.
very, very busy people.
I think I was going to bring this up, and this is hilarious.
It's so funny. I actually don't even like, I wasn't planning on bringing this up, but I'm going to now. This is the only, if you have no takeaway from this podcast, take this away. You know that you have somebody in your life that, like, genuinely, maybe not, but this is a pretty good telltale sign. If you leave them on read, like
Yes.
if you leave their text sitting there all day long and you don't get around to it, like, that is a telltale sign that this person is a pain in your ass.
Oh,
And
it's
you
so
probably don't
funny.
need that.
When Maddie and
Now,
I were walking, she brought this up to me, and I'm like,
go
oh my God, like this is my new best friend. Like this is totally something I would do.
Yeah. Yeah, but you text me and, like, if I'm not busy, I'm on it immediately. But I think that in the context of, like, friendships, I haven't personally experienced this. Savannah, I don't think that, just based on what you've said, you haven't experienced this either. But if you're the person that's going to happy hour every single Friday, right? Or maybe you don't feel like you're going to Orange Theory every single Friday and you hate the ladies there, but you're doing it because you got to get the workout in. It's like you got to clear the stuff out that's causing the negativity, because You don't go to the happy hour on Friday. Maybe you could go to a Run Unlimited class, or maybe you could go to a Bible study, or maybe you could go to a run club in your community, right? It's like, but you've got to clear some stuff out so there's space for things to come in. But if you have a schedule that is maxed out with all of these social activities that are out of alignment with the wrong people, you're not going to create space for the new. And so, as we're wrapping up this call, and we're talking here on to the woman that feels alone. Savannah, you brought up a valuable point earlier in our conversation. You said sometimes you have to be alone for a little bit. And it's only in that discomfort, like it's only when we have a void that we seek to fill it out as human beings. So remember that finding a community, it's gonna take effort, but you're not going to be alone for very long. If there is a gap there, if there is a space, there's churches, there's coaching groups, there's online spaces, there's 5Ks that you can join, there's gyms. And it's not to say you go to your first 5K alone and you meet somebody, but the chances that you're going to go to a 5K and you're not going to make eye contact or speak with one person as you all are waiting to take off is so unlikely. And it's not weird to ask for somebody's Instagram. It's not weird to be like, hey, you don't have to get their number. You don't even have to make plans with them. That's a little creepy. But you can be like, hey, I saw that, we're at this 5K. Have you ever gone to any classes? Have you trained anywhere for this? And then that evolves into a conversation. They say, oh yeah, I went to this run club every single Friday. Really? I've never heard of it. Oh yeah, you should come. Let me get your contact. And I think that the other thing that I would like to share on this topic too is to be the friend that you want to attract. If you're feeling unmotivated and you're feeling burnt out and frustrated with your circle, it's probably because, there's a mirror back at you about the person that you're really frustrated with is yourself, because you're in this evolutionary, what I would call like evolutionary gap. Like you're not yet the person that you want to be. Here's the reality. We're never going to be them. We're always evolving to be them, but you're no longer the person that you were. And so we start to point fingers at the people around us. And when you start to do that, the first person you need to take inventory of is yourself and the things that you're doing. So you might need to put the cart before the horse. You might need to take yourself out of some situations that are no longer suitable for you and put yourself into some uncomfortable ones.
Definitely.
Savannah, what is your advice to the girl who is ready to give up on finding her people?
I would say definitely don't give up. I know how discouraging it can feel like when you're putting yourself out there and it seems like you're not finding the right people, but I've been there, new city, new job, going through breakups and feeling like I was literally having to start over from scratch. But there were moments I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to have that kind of community. But here's something that I have learned. Finding your people takes time. It takes showing up in uncomfortable places, trying new things, and sometimes feeling awkward or alone in the process, like I mentioned earlier. So for me, like I said, going to run clubs, even though I hated running, joining new gyms, saying yes when I wanted to say no, and being consistent at church. Obviously, none of this was instant, but definitely all worth it. And taking that time and being alone and finding out what Savannah likes, you need to find out what you like. And the rest will come. Like being single in those moments, I never thought I would find a healthy relationship, whether it being friend or significant other. And luckily, I have found both, and it has been definitely life-changing. So I just say be patient with yourself, give yourself grace, and those friendships, community will come to you and they'll be intentional.
You brought up something too. I want to piggyback on beautiful advice, by the way, and words of wisdom for our listeners. But I also think too, you may try something. I tried growing up soccer, gymnastics, flag football, basketball. I tried it all, and I hated every single thing that I tried. But I'm obviously not friendless. And very recently, one of my instructors from a class that I went to invited me on a Saturday morning run with her and her friends. And they went 10 miles. They picked me up at mile 5, and I did 5 miles with them outside. And I am not a runner, so I was like dying. Nonetheless, I went and got breakfast with them, and she's a friend that she ran a marathon this past weekend in Utah, and
Wow.
I tracked her and I texted with her and encouraged her. And she said, like, this, the text that you sent me this morning was one of the most encouraging texts that I received. And it spoke to me because, and what you just said spoke to me because I think taking that a step further, you may not like every single thing that you try, just like you might not like going to church, but the purpose for you being there, even just one time. I'm not a marathoner. I'm not going to enjoy training the way that Corinne trains every single day, but I really value our friendship, and there's a lot of similarities that her and I have. They don't need to, good friends don't need to check every single box. But if you
Correct.
accumulate enough of these people, they can each fill different boxes, and sometimes there's overlap. And before you know it, you're going to have this conglomeration of the most beautiful, this mosaic of amazing, encouraging, life-enriching friends. So,
Yeah.
women, if you are starting from scratch or if you're refining your circle, I really do believe, and I think Savannah is such a great testament to this, that the company you keep is really one of the biggest predictors of your success in health and in life. Savannah, thank you so much for being here today and for being so open and so vulnerable. I think this conversation shows that the people around us, they matter just as much as our macros, our training, or any program that we follow. To the amazing woman listening, if you've been feeling like you're doing this alone, know that you don't have to. The right community is out there. And when you find it, everything about your health journey feels lighter, more joyful, and more sustainable. At Empowered Coaching Collective, that's our mission. We don't just help women transform their bodies, we help them sustain those achievements. And that means helping you build the circle of support that makes your health possible. And if you're ready for that one-on-one coaching and community, check out the link in the show notes. And as always, we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. Remember, be kind to one another and don't forget to include yourself in the mix. Thank you so much, Savannah. I appreciate you more than words.
Of course. Thank you, Maddie.